So we're here at Valvona and Corolla, which is actually, I think, one of its other places, a fringe venue. But we're here because the tea is good, and I'm here with Juliet Burton for a catch-up interview. And I'm going to start with a killer of a question. At the Brighton Fringe, I was talking to Holly Dillon, who was doing a show about bulimia, and a clown show, a silent show. But she made it very clear that her therapist had advised her it was not a good idea. Are you still ignoring the advice of your therapist?
that's a brilliant question. I do still see my therapist. In fact, I was texting her yesterday when I arrived because I was feeling all the feelings. She's very supportive of what I do, but I met her, I kind of started seeing her at the time that it was all starting to kick off for me. So in terms of my career, no, I'm not ignoring her advice. In terms of other things, I try to listen as best I can, but certainly when it comes to my career, she's really, really supportive, and that's kind of vital, I think, especially during the fringe, because I think a lot of people might need therapists during the fringe, so.
I suppose what I'm really asking is, I've looked through the programme this year, there's more mental illness forming the heart of the themes of comedy and theatre, and even cabaret at this fringe, than ever before. So people are choosing to expose themselves to audiences for a reason, probably more than just entertainment.
I can't speak for other people, but I think I have noticed, like you say, this kind of rise in people being more open, not just about mental illness, but about darker stuff that they're going through, whatever that is. And I have theories about why that might be, like maybe in the post-recession era, I think people are realising, thanks to social media as well, that the more that we're honest with each other, the more we can connect, and actually it's very powerful, can reach out to a lot of different people. I've certainly found that on Twitter and articles, you know, writing online. For me personally, the reason that I do those kinds of shows, as you know, is because it's something I want to make accessible to people, and it's a part of who I am, and, you know, it's a part of my story. So I think I've realised fairly early on, I realised that if I'm honest on stage about the darker stuff and I can find some kind of informed way of making people laugh about it, then it really reaches certain people in a really very real way. And other people who maybe haven't been through those things, they might understand it a bit more. People who have been through those things come up to me and say, I feel like I can talk more about it now because people like you are talking more about it. So it's great that in the arts and in comedy, cabaret, there are more people being more open, because we can't, I feel like we can take down the mask a little bit, which is maybe a maybe that's a bit of a contradiction when it comes to arts, because we're meant to wear a mask, so our persona is slightly heightened or exaggerated. As a comedian, I know mine is slightly, it's me, but it's just a slightly heightened version of me. So it is, some people might see that as a mask, and I used to wear it as a mask, but I'm learning now to take that off a lot more, and actually people seem to respond to the real me even more than the mask, which is great.
But there's Juliet Burton, the performer, and like most performers, they've got at least that madness that, you know, they want to hear the applause and they want the tickets to have sold and they'd like good reviews, and that's either normal or mad, depending on how you define it. But then there's Juliet Burton, who's chosen to do this and this material that's in your show. So when you get the laughter, and when you can feel the warm silence, and when you get the applause, what's coming towards you? Is healing coming towards you?
I love your questions. Is healing coming towards me? Maybe, yeah. I hadn't thought of it in that way, but yeah, I think possibly. I mean, it's a certain type of healing. There's another type that I have to do in a safe therapist's office, and do work on myself, which is still an ongoing journey. But when I'm standing on stage, and they've painted a lovely picture there, and I can almost feel like I'm back on stage, I'm really excited now. And I can feel, I hear people laughing. It is very, very... It means that feeling, I feel very alone quite a lot of the time, and I think we all do, all of us do. It's not me as an individual, so I'm not alone in feeling alone. But I think that's an experience that I experience life usually feeling very isolated. And when you stand on stage and you're talking about things that maybe isolate me even more, or I feel like I'm marginalising myself because I'm, in inverted commas, different... then you hear people laugh in recognition or in understanding, or that warm laughter, rather than laughing at me, then, yeah, it does feel like I'm less alone. And certainly in the last year, there was, I had a huge moment in the last year when I'd been through a really difficult few weeks, and I was really struggling with my eating disorders again, and I was very, very isolated. I was going down a very dark path again, and struggling to leave the house, and just was really struggling. And then I had a show that I had to do, but it was a new material night, and it was a happy hour of the new material night starting in London. Getting on stage and doing that was one of the most terrifying. It was back to being like the early years of performing. It was one of the most terrifying experiences, because I was about to perform about things that were really raw. I had no idea if people were going to actually respond nicely or not nicely, because it was about what I'd just been through. And yet when I got on stage, it was the most incredible moment, because people were laughing and I suddenly wasn't alone. I'd spent the last fortnight being so terrified and fearful and alone. That was kind of an exaggerated version of maybe what I do generally with these shows as well. And you get on stage and hear people laugh, and it's, you realise actually, no, it's not as terrifying as, you've taken the fear out of it if you make people laugh about it.
So that comes back to my first question. I guess my theory about this too, which is, I know this can sound cheesy, but you know, a lot of people have talked about the death of community and that people are isolated. And one of the things that can be achieved in a theatre experience, it's called a shared experience, is we create a temporary community. And so when the therapists say, don't do it, you know, you can't risk that, because that's about sharing and going in public and making yourself vulnerable. That's the very thing that happens when you're on stage, isn't it? When it does work, we've created a community for this issue.
Yes, I totally agree. I was nodding wildly whilst you were saying that, because I think that I don't really go to church, but without bringing religion into this, I think that comedy and theatre, live theatre and live comedy experiences are the closest thing for me to what I imagine church used to be for some people, where you really feel connected. If you're sitting in an audience and you're laughing at something and you can hear everyone else around you laughing, then you're all in it together. And if the comedian is talking about really, really dark personal stuff, that maybe you're laughing in recognition as well, and you're like, oh, it's okay to laugh at this. Suddenly we're all so much more connected. And yeah, I know that, I think the Fringe is so much a community in lots of different ways, but performing and the community with the audiences, that is a connection that is so precious to me, because it's more precious than any other kind of relationship you might have at the Fringe, really, because that is the bare basics of what we're doing. Community is really, really important. Yeah, and I agree with the therapist kind of saying, don't do it. Well, I don't know. I don't know Holly Dillon's situation, but I personally would feel like if my therapist said that to me, then they would be denying me my life purpose. I love doing this, and it's the reason that I want to keep staying alive. So, that sounds very grand, but it really is. I've thought about it long and hard. And getting on stage, writing and performing about things that really matter to me, and hearing people laugh and connecting with them, that is, I think it's the reason that I want to stay alive. It's the reason that I'm here. I think that sounds really, really profound, but yeah, it is really.
We're allowed to be profound in Valvona and Crowler. But I'm just interested, because at the Brighton Fringe there was a show that was back, which was about Billie Holiday and Lester Young, and Billie Holiday's descent into alcoholism, and you know, and her sense of isolation and loneliness towards the end of her life. And that is where the therapists kind of say don't do it, because they there are lots of examples of artists who have just become more and more isolated the more they've shown their work. But what we seem to be talking about here is the show that you've created is absolutely a conversation with your audience, not to your audience. Is that right?
Yeah, I think anything that I do on stage, I've already processed in a therapy room, so I'm already in a good place with it. I think that might be the distinction. There's certain shows that I'm planning for the future. I remember that at the end of Edinburgh last year, you asked me a question that I thought was one of the best questions I've ever been asked, which is, and that's not me trying to flatter you, genuinely, you said, do I think that I'm unravelling with each show? And at the time I thought, did you mean like mentally unraveling? Because that, those are some excellent examples of that can in some ways happen. Because I don't know about those people, but I have certainly sometimes felt this very profound dissonance between the perception of yourself, who you are, your success, or your how you're doing, who you are, especially when you're revealing yourself in such a way, and then who you are behind closed doors and who you are away from all of that. And sometimes that can be almost painful, the fact that people, there's a big gap between those two things. But that then you meet people that actually get it, and that sometimes that's audience members, sometimes that's reviewers, sometimes it's a Fringe community, fellow performers, and that's again why Fringe is so important, because you come together and those people who actually understand that kind of turmoil of the gap between who you are and who you're perceived to be, that's really, really valuable. I think the people who unravel, and I am still wondering whether I'm unraveling, because do you end up chasing that kind of exposure? When I say exposure, I don't mean press exposure, or I mean literally exposing yourself to an audience on stage in a theatrical or comedic way. When I talk about my mental health problems on stage, I try my best to be as careful as possible, never to make it trite or throw away comments, because these are really, really difficult experiences for me and also for a lot of other people that I've been through. So I want to always be respectful and informed and accountable for what I say, and not just take the piss. I do that about other people. No, I don't. When it comes to future shows, like how much do you keep exposing yourself, and where do you draw the line?
I suppose it's also, if you keep mining your own soul, you know, is gold actually coming out, and in the end the mine's empty, or is it an endless supply?
Yes. That's a huge question. I don't know if I have I don't know if I know the answer. I think that's one of the reasons why with my shows I try to incorporate other people's voices. So I try to make it a universal question and talk to other people, basically so that I don't become a massive ego trip in the show, and also so that I don't run out of material, because there'll always be other people's experience. And had a great conversation recently with somebody who works in entertainment, who said that they feel like nowadays it's all about kind of unravelling again, the meaning of reality, so the kind of the idea that, right, you see a cow and you understand the word cow, that's a word, you understand the cow looking as it does, you understand cow and your cultural experience and your conditioning to what a cow actually means, but is a cow a cow to other people, and what basically unpacking what it is to perceive anything. And I think that you can do that with comedy very well. You can poke fun in different ways, and when I say poke fun, you can also kind of show the gaps in our lack of understanding or our lack of knowledge. I quite like that. Quite like knowing that we're not as grand as we might think we are.
But also, you could spend the rest of your life exploring your story. And some artists have done that brilliantly, but to their dying day it's been about their story. Or you can go, I've told my story now, and now it's about other stories. And I guess your part of that is, if you unravel, do you come to a point where you go, that's enough of Juliet Burton, about Juliet Burton, and now it's Juliet Burton, a performer, about something else?
I'm laughing because there's two things there. Firstly, I've got other stories that I'm really longing to tell about my experience coming next year or the year after. I'm really excited to tell those stories. But I have already started exploring in, say, stand-up, taking there's my story, but then there's the universal experience of that similar topic. And some performers do that excellently, and I hope that I can continue to mine that as well, because that's mining the experience of being human, which sure, I think that's limitless, I think, but I'm willing to test it out. Let's try and test the limits of being human.
Well, let's just climb out of this deep hole for a while, and just end with one slightly geeky question, really, which is, so here you are back at the Fringe with this show. How's it developed?
Okay, so that's more of a standard question, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not going to end on a standard question, so there'll be one more after this.
Okay, how's it developed? Well, it has, for me, it's developed a lot in the last year. I've cut out a lot of stuff because I wanted to fit in a whole new chunk, which is to do with the Beachbody Ready advert scandal that happened earlier this year, because I was involved with that accidentally, and it kind of came out of left field, and that was the difficult experience that I mentioned earlier. It wasn't intended that I was going to get involved so heavily, but suddenly I was. So that is all in the show now, because it ties in with all the themes of what the show is about: body confidence, mental health, stigma. There was lots of that during that time. The response that I've had so far down in Brighton at the Brighton Fringe, that was the first time I performed it to an audience with that bit, that section in there. And it was an award-winning show, and the audience seemed to love it, which was amazing. Got an award for it, which I was so happy with. So it's now got that in. It's also, I think, the biggest development for me is I've tried to learn a lot about myself as a performer in the last year, and I've tried to let go a lot more and just be me a bit more on stage, which is hard in a show that has multimedia and is very structured. It's extremely structured, and you have to come in under an hour, obviously. But I've tried to free myself up within that structure more, so I'm making different jokes that are more me, more ad-libbed, more fresh and in the moment, and playing and being more playful, and it seems to be going down really well.
So my final question then, just dive back down again. You talked about the Beachbody Ready campaign, and then a man in shorts opened fire on a Tunisian beach and killed a lot of people. And there's a lot of writing at the moment about the millennial generation are finally looking at all of that and going, we don't want that anymore. You know, we don't want Beachbody Ready. We're a bit cynical about the human form being seen in such a marketing-led way. Do you think the world's waking up for the better?
Do I think the world's waking up for the better? I think... God, I mean, those are two really different things as well, with the Beachbody Ready and the... Yeah, there's so many... So many things in the world that people need to stand up for, and I think that one of the reasons for me that this was I'm so passionate about changing advertising and the images that we see all around us is because it is the wallpaper of our lives, and we have to walk past it all the time. And I just kind of want it to stop sneering at us. I want to be able to look at those images, and for people to grow up seeing those images and maybe knowing that they're good enough, rather than being constantly bullied into believing that they're not good enough as they are. And I think if we're freed from all of that self-loathing that these images exacerbate, they don't cause them necessarily, but they exacerbate them. Exacerbate the feeling of self-loathing, that if we're freed up from that, then we can focus on things that really do matter, like being kind to each other, maybe changing the world for the better. If we change some things for the better, like advertising, which feels more like it's in a tangible grasp, like maybe we can actually change that, then maybe we can continue to change other things for the better. I think the world is waking up. I think that, again, the power social media gets a lot of bad rep, and lots of people say how negative it is, and how, you know, trolling and abuse, and isn't it awful. But then the flip side of that, the silver lining, is that you can create a community. Again, coming back to community, you can create connections with people who are like-minded, who believe what you believe. And actually, I think a lot of people are waking up to the fact that there is a whole... I don't want to use the word army because that sounds too military, but there's a whole community of people out there who want change in so many different ways, and will strive for it using words and ideas, and we can share those ideas more through social media now, and also through Fringe. I think I like to think that you can get inspired at the Fringe and inspired in performance. I like the idea that, I know I've seen shows that I wake up for the better. I can, might be sleepwalking my way into the show, and then I wake up during the show and I walk out and suddenly something's changed. So yes, I think the world is waking up for the better.
Let those words echo. Juliet Burton, thanks very much.